Today on our Health Talk program, we're visiting with Michaela Keenitz, the CEO of the Boone County Hospital, and also joining us today from the hospital, we got Laura Krieger, and Laura's part of the administrative team.
I am over the nursing services, ambulance, home health, public health, wound clinic, diabetes education. So a little bit of everything.
A lot of things. You've been doing that for a little while. So I've had you on here before, and we've talked about some of the things that have been going on, too. I wanted to start right away because this will be something that will be coming up, and that's going to be Senior Life Solutions. Now, you've kind of been working on this for a little while, haven't you?
Yeah, Laura, do you want to talk about Senior Life Solutions? I think that it started prior to me getting here, and I think that the hospital had been working on it for a few months. So if you want to talk a little bit about that, and then I can chime in, that'd be great.
Sure. Yep, I can give a high-level overview. So, yes, Jim, you're right. We've been working with an outside company on getting Senior Life Solutions established here at Boone County Hospital. Probably since last summer is when we initially started conversations, so it's moved along fairly quickly to get established. But we're excited to have them on board. They officially opened their clinic last week on the 13th. And have started to accept patient referrals into the program. Their plan is to start seeing patients, I believe around March 20th is their goal date to begin those services live with patients. They will be able to provide mental health services and counseling to a patient population of 65 and older. So we just felt that, you know, with the shortage of mental health services across all populations, really, this was one way that we could provide that service to our community. And so, again, we're excited to get them here and get them going. They're located on our second floor of the hospital on the west end down by our business office. So we've got some designated space for them for their staff and their counseling services. What makes them... I guess somewhat unique too is their therapist and their psychiatrists are going to be remote, or they'll use telemedicine to provide that service. They're hoping to have an on-site therapist here eventually, so they're still working on that recruitment. But they're excited to be here. We have a program director that's an RN, and she will be here Monday through Friday on site, and then an office coordinator as well that will help with scheduling of the sessions and patient throughput. They do provide two types of services. They do individual counseling, and they will also do group therapy. So it just depends on the need of the patient that's presenting. So yeah, they're here, they're getting going, and we're excited to have them here.
Michaela, have you worked with them previously? What do you know about Senior Life Solutions?
I have not worked with them previously. They were just sort of getting in contact with Compass just prior to my leaving there, and so it was a service that we looked at there as well, and I think that they are also moving forward with that. So I think that there's definitely a big mental health need out there, like Laura said, across all populations, and there's a shortage of that, I think, nationwide. And so I think any time that we can do anything to bring those services locally and to add services in mental health, it's value to our patients.
Yeah, I know. And Laura, we can remember because we did at least have, we had Dr. Bill Martin there for so long, being able to provide a lot of, you know, at least input into doing these things until, again, he suddenly had passed away. But that left a gap for us there.
Yeah, it sure did. It certainly left a gap and a need for many people. You know, so anytime we were able to have a service that we can provide in regards to mental health, it's the best for everybody involved. So, yeah, we're excited to have them here and continue to look at other options to serve that need in our community.
There's always more. If it was easy, everybody would be
right.
It. That's why. But that's why finding something like this. And I know you vetted them beforehand. So for people that are wondering, listeners that might be wondering, I mean, this was just not an automatic. You started pretty early in the whole process of just making sure this is something that's going to fit the need for our patient base.
Correct. And one of the things, we do a community health needs assessment every 3 years, and we did one last summer, and mental health needs still rose to the top, two or three needs within our communities. So again, anytime we can focus on what our community needs and be able to provide a service to support that, that's just, it's in the best interest for everybody, and we just continue to live by our mission in doing that, enhancing, the health and the well-being of our community and those that we serve.
And this, again, as we said, senior life solution. So, again, for our senior population,
which is
a pretty high percentage. So,
yes, for sure.
Well, yeah,
Jim, we are continuing also to investigate other options for the different age groups that are not in the age group that Senior Life Solutions will serve. So I'm looking at some different types of outpatient services that would be available for mental health, whether it's therapy or counseling, through our clinics. So we're doing some investigating of that right now as well.
I was going to say, one of the challenges, and it's not just here, but all over the state, is, well, we see it here because we get so many, I get a chance to see call sheets from the communication center and stuff, and I see how many mental health calls law enforcement and emergency responders have to go on. And when they do come in, they come into the hospital, and if you need to go further, that's the challenge, being able to find that next location for them to get them the assistance they need.
Absolutely. That's been a big struggle across the state. I think finding an inpatient mental health bed is very challenging for everyone throughout the state. So if we can work on some of these outpatient services, maybe we can decrease some of the need for the inpatient beds.
And I know we've got providers around here too, but they also have that face that same challenge of being able to have the people that can work with the clients and again provide that assistance to them. So one of the things that came up during a meeting, you did have a public hearing again on your tax asking. We went ahead with it, even though we don't know all the last of the four, the corrections that the state made in the rollback. But budget has already been coming together for the hospital. So basically, your board knew, let's go with the dollar amount that we need, and the levy rate can vary whatever it needs to do. But $3.5 million, a little over $3.5 million, about a $200,000 increase. And I'm pretty sure a lot of your utility costs and things like that have gone up by at least a similar percentage anyway.
Yeah, yes. I think there's going to be some time to figure out what's going to happen. And so, as that we get those answers where we don't have all the answers today, it shouldn't change anything for us as far as the dollar amount. So we went ahead and moved forward with that for right now.
And for folks that don't know, that's just our county tax asking that we do because of being a county hospital. Over the years, at least what we've done is instead of moving and just keeping a steady rate, the board has kind of gone to kind of put us in the middle of the field, would you? As far as what critical access hospitals are asking for, where we're at. We don't want to be the top one. We don't want to be the bottom one, but we're kind of staying right in the middle of the field in what we're asking for.
We do look at sort of they rank each hospital, and we do look at a list of what everyone's asking for, and we do work really hard to sort of stay in the middle there and not, like you said, not be at the top and not be at the bottom, but make sure that we're sort of right there in the center and still getting everything met that we need.
Again, that's just one of the things that the board did take action on and moving forward with that. But a couple of other things on the capital, I did want to ask on the capital project side or capital request side. The infusion pumps was an interesting story. It's amazing what happens when we keep going forward and then all of a sudden somebody, I think pandemic might have had something to do with some of that, missed a contract coming to an end. But Boone County Hospital continues to use the same devices. They just did a payout on it, a buyout.
Yes, we did. They were leased pumps and used primarily in our OB department. And so, basically, we just had to get caught up with that lease and end up purchasing the pumps for ourselves. So they are now officially our own pumps, and we no longer have a lease. So it was a catch up.
So just one of those things kind of lost in between, but we got it done.
Yep, we got it done.
Probably the big thing is lengthy discussion regarding ambulances. And again, interesting concept of we need to try to get caught up. We've got some older vehicles. They are creating some challenges. We are looking at acquiring at least two new ambulances. And Michaela, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we went ahead and the board approved yesterday to go ahead and order two new ambulances for the ambulance service here that we run through the hospital. We have recognized that our equipment is aging and we're spending a lot on service. And so we started to talk about what it might look like to get our ambulances on a regular rotation for replacement. And in order to sort of get that in line where we would like it to be moving forward, we decided to go ahead and purchase two new ambulances right now. And that will help with rotating out some of the older ambulances that we have. I know the oldest one is around 20 years old. And so those end up becoming really expensive service-wise. And you know, everything we do with patient safety and good outcomes, quality, at the forefront of our decisions. And so I started, you know, and Mark, our ambulance director, and Laura, we all started getting kind of concerned as what happens if there's a patient in our ambulance and something happens to one of them. So it's really time to start replacing them and start working towards getting a good replacement cycle going.
For those that are wondering, I think what the most recent ambulance we got was just about 4 years ago or so, 4 or 5 years ago, 2019, but well over 130,000 miles on it already.
Yeah, they get a lot of miles quick. They're used a lot, so you have to sort of keep up with replacing them. And they're not inexpensive. They're expensive items. But if we want to provide a great ambulance service, we have to keep up with our equipment.
Sure. I know in one of the things, just because we're telling people that you've ordered a couple, doesn't mean they're showing up here next week.
No, they take a long time. So typically, they can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months once you order them. But I think that the company that we are working through, we're looking around 12 to 18 months, basically, is what we're looking at for these two ambulances.
And I know also, because going to the city council meeting, and I know that the fire chief had asked the council permission to pursue a grant to see if they couldn't also buy one as well. Not that they're going out on their own, but they are using the oldest one as third crew, and we know they make they're making a lot of trips.
Yeah, they do use the oldest ambulance right now, and if they were granted their the funds that they're asking for through the grant process, that would be really excellent for our community if we had three brand new ambulances sort of rolling out about the same time out into the community. But yeah, I think that their efforts are, you know, coming together with us in order to try to have the best supplies and equipment that we can have for our patients.
Well, altogether, it's going to be, what, about $550,000, $560,000
or so? Yeah, for the two ambulances that we ordered, it should be around $560,000.
That's enough. A lot of different things that come up for the board. We have Dr. Hay is going to be taking over the public health, mental health, medical director position, and home care advisory committee as well. Again, part of the process with the retirement of Dr. Melhouse.
Yes, she is going to be replacing him on those two fronts. And, you know, we're still recruiting, like we talked about last time, I think. We're still recruiting to replace him in the emergency room and then as well as some time that he was spending in the clinic. So still working through filling all of those gaps.
So one of the articles in the Register, Polk County gave some money to the hospitals down there and DMAC to do healthcare recruitment. I guess we'll just call it healthcare provider recruitment or I'll ask Laura first on this because I know you've done job fairs, you've done things like that in the past, and that's always been one of the things that the hospital has done. You put that information out there where we do need people, and it's not just because of the situation where everybody is looking for help. Now, this has been something you've always recruited people to head into the healthcare profession.
Yes, yes, we have. And you're right, we've participated in many job fairs at local colleges and schools and, you know, not just for nursing and patient care positions, but for other positions within the healthcare, you know, arena. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, being out there, being visible to anybody who's looking for any kind of position in the healthcare, we've been out there And unfortunately, with COVID the past few years, those job fairs haven't been as abundant. So hopefully that, you know, many colleges can get those back up and going and we can be out there and have a presence again.
It's one of those, I know, Michaela, that's one of the things we touched on a little bit last time, finding people. It's more challenging now than probably it has been in some time to fill those ranks.
I think right now is probably one of the most challenging times that healthcare has ever seen to attract staff and keep the staff. There's a couple things that we're doing, and I think that we're going to have to, along with all the hospitals and healthcare, is going to have to start being very creative and thinking outside of the box. Yesterday, Steph Bowers and I, Steph is our HR director, we went and met with some folks at Boone High School about their EDGE program, and they do, it gives high school students a chance to work as either like an EMT or a CNA through an apprenticeship program. So we're starting to look at opportunities like that and starting when they're young and keeping in front of them and giving them the opportunities that they need to see some of these things. And one really nice thing about that is if they're, you know, they're in our facility, they can get exposure to other areas too than just nursing or ambulance. They can also see lab and imaging and respiratory therapy and all the jobs that sometimes we don't think about that it takes to make healthcare work.
Once you get started in it, there is flexibility. You can go in other directions with additional education. You might end up being our doctor that we're looking for, our family practitioner.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we're going to have to get really creative with recruitment and, you know, looking at what's it going to take to send people to school that we need, those kind of things. And I think everybody is starting to look at those partnerships, like the partnerships with DMAC that, you know, the hospitals have and trying to see how that can benefit the future of healthcare.
We saw the train derailment in Ohio. And I know actually the first time Michaela was here at that board meeting, we had the fire that was going on in Marengo. Do you guys continue to keep training and updating? I know, Laura, that's one of the things that falls into your area.
Yes, we do. And actually, we just did a hazmat training drill in our ER a few weeks ago, and that involved a chemical exposure out in the public. So we do regular drills and trainings that encompass a lot of different scenarios, but we do that on a regular basis, and just to keep our staff aware and up to date with the best practices and how to respond to those types of situations. We're also currently putting together an exercise for this spring for a tornado situation. So Mark also is our emergency preparedness coordinator, and so we've got a group of directors that are working, went through a tabletop exercise first about a month ago and talked through how they respond in each one of their areas when there's a tornado watch, a tornado warning, and then we expanded into a scenario where there was a tornado that touched down nearby Boone, and there were injuries that presented to our ER and how we managed an influx of patients presenting. And so we're going to do a little bit more of a drill here, hopefully in March as we're entering spring and tornado warning season.
We're going to be there.
It's
coming.
We'll have some more.
It's coming. Yeah.
It's coming.
Seems to me the last one we did, didn't we have people out at the ledges all over the place? And I think that was probably one of those events or one of the planned trainings that we had going on too. So.
Yeah, that's been a while ago.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I can remember a little bit about that. And we've done mass casualty drills in the past where we've had like a bus accident that, so you had 20, 30 patients presenting to the ER all at once and you were triaging them based on their injuries. And so, yeah, we've done some work with that too.
Just regular training that we have to do.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Looking forward, again, Michaela, some of the things as we go into the month of March here, some of the other things that you're looking at, obviously physician recruitment, trying to continue to work in that area.
Yeah, physician recruitment, and we are working on getting out in the community some more and getting engaged with the community. I think we are going to be part of STEM Night at the elementary school here on February 28th, so we're excited about that. We have a group of clinical staff that are going to go and put together some scenarios for the kids. Yesterday, we hired a CFO, so we're really excited about that.
All right.
Joe Devin is going to be retiring probably around the end of April, so we'll be onboarding our new CFO in March, and And that's a really exciting next step for us.
Yeah. I was going to say, the last time we visited, you had just put out and had some applications for it. You had some good candidates?
We did have some good candidates, a lot of qualified folks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we did some team interviews. We did on-site interviews, and eventually we selected a final candidate.
Congratulations on getting your CFO anyway. So
thank you. We'll yes, thanks. We're very excited about it.
Next meeting coming up for the board, I think, is towards the end of March.
It is. It's March 30th.
All right. We'll get a chance to visit with you after that. Thanks so much for visiting with us this month.